Mars has been the subject of much debate because of its past similarities with Earth, at least early in its history. Arid and waterless on its surface now, there was once a time where abundant evidence shows that the red planet was once a water world, very much like Earth, and not only may have been the ideal location for microbial life, abiogenesis, to happen, but in some respects may have been even better for that than Earth was at the time. We don't yet know very much about abiogenesis, but we do know that liquid water had to be involved. Water is the solvent of the chemistry of life. The magic had to happen there, but Mars had it, as evidenced by its river channels, water-altered mineralogy, and so on. But in most models, the best ones we have, what was also involved was volcanism and the internal heat of a planet. In the case of Earth, either hydrothermal oceanic vents or hot springs on land. Mars had those too. Evidence for that has come from the rovers. And in every experiment we've done to try to determine if Mars ever had life actually resulted in a number of controversial situations, where Mars actually was hinting that it had in the past, and even currently may have, microbial life. But nothing was ever conclusive. But we live in a different time where it is very possible that someone will set foot on Mars in the coming decades, possibly sooner rather than later. We are running out of time to do direct, sterile life detection experiments without human boots on the ground. If we're going to do that, which seems inevitable, it seems to me to be prudent to know ahead of time what may have happened or happens on that planet as far as life is concerned. So let's look at the instances of where Mars hinted at something that might have been biology, and why it might be a good idea to do some exploratory work before we send humans there and expose them, or the Mars life, to potentially dangerous pathogens, and what it might mean if there actually is or was life on Mars. Perhaps the first potential hint is Mars's color. It's the red planet, and you can see that with your own eyes when it is in the night sky. Its ruddy hues have been visible to humans looking up since humans first existed, and the fact is, we really don't have a great handle on just how it became that color. The question is with iron oxide, which is largely responsible for the color of that planet. Mars is extremely rusty, actually at its surface about twice as much as Earth is. Yet Earth too is thoroughly rusted, but it didn't used to be. Creating rust is just the process of iron oxidation, iron and oxygen reacting. It's just a chemical process. But the wholesale rusting of Earth required not just life, but photosynthetic life, which created the Great Oxidation Event and mass extinction, that slowly increased the amounts of oxygen to the levels of today, with many variations over the eons. Sometimes it was more, sometimes it was less. But here's the question. Mars is even worse on the rusting count, but never had, so far as we know, massive amounts of oxygen. So what exactly rusted Mars? The reality is that Mars and Earth are two different planets. Mars is smaller and not as differentiated as Earth, so more of Earth's iron sank into the planet due to its higher gravity early on, and is now molten in the interior and so on. That's why Mars has more surface iron oxides, not as much sunk down, and Mars wasn't able to transport as much through melting, again due to the smaller size. But how did it rust in the first place? That's not well accounted for. Oxygen is common in the universe, and you don't need life to have it. In the right conditions all across the universe, iron can rust. And it's because oxygen is really reactive and likes to lock up with iron. One idea is that Mars's magma was just not hot enough to destroy iron oxide left from the reaction of oxygen inherited from the solar nebula, and iron early in the history of the planet. Modeling showed that this oxidation process at the needed temperature would match what is seen at Mars, and also why Mars's core is so much smaller as far as equivalent mass than Earth's. But still, this process rusted an entire planet, but did not occur on Earth to anywhere close to that degree until life appeared. What the difference was is an open question, and it has to be said, it was not this process that rusted Earth, it was life. On Mars, it was geology, but again, a whole planet? But it's ambiguous in that ways can be thought of where the rusting of Mars might be duplicated chemically without biology, so it isn't an indicator of past photosynthesis on Mars on its own. It's simply an interesting and still not well understood oddity. One thing is clear, however. The Mars rovers have discovered iron meteorites sitting on the surface of Mars, in a more or less pristine metallic state, suggesting that whatever rusted Mars no longer is happening to a large degree. With Earth, it is still happening, as a rusty bicycle will show, and the cause is photosynthesis. The next weird indicator came with the NASA Viking landers in the 1970s. This was the famous labeled release experiment results that detected something metabolizing nutrients that was active in the Martian soil. But the three other experiments on the landers in the life-finding suite of experiments also produced interesting but ambiguous results that were all called into question. But the matter was never settled, with the scientists involved in those detections maintaining that they had discovered potential microbial life in the Martian soil. Granted, the experiment's results were controversial. I really wish scientists at the time that objected to the methodology had done it before the landers were sent, instead of after, so the experiments could have been designed better. And it was all public since it was NASA. Everyone knew about the designs beforehand, but they did not object. And to this day, we still don't know what the landers detected. We only have vague and increasingly problematic ideas on how chemistry without biology might have done it. That's science. Things get disputed and questioned as they should, but again, we're getting really close to human boots on Mars, and repeats of these experiments in a modern form are sorely needed and need to be done now. But the suggestive evidence doesn't end with the Viking experiments. Next come the Martian meteorites. Right now, we have well over 200 separate known meteorite falls that have an origin on Mars. And yes, some of these rocks do show features that may be consistent with the activities of past microbial life. Most famous of these is the Allen Hills 84001 meteorite, which contains structures that look to be biological in origin, but it's actually far more complicated than just that one meteorite. Allen Hills 84001 is interesting because it's actually very old for a Mars rock, older than most of the other specimens we have. Basically, it's lava that crystallized slightly over 4 billion years ago, when Mars is thought to have had liquid water on its surface. In 1996, work was published that reported microscopic features and geochemical anomalies that pointed towards the activity of bacteria at Mars in the ancient past. But there was a serious problem. It was far, far smaller than any microbial life ever detected on Earth. This gets into the idea of nanobacteria, the idea that life can actually, in principle, be much smaller than what we see here on Earth. This contentious field has been called the cold fusion of microbiology, and it's still not clear that anything like this actually can exist, and if it does, whether we could detect it on Earth with our current methods, or be differentiated in evidence from abiotic chemical processes if we can. And even if that were the case, they still might not actually be alive, but something more like a virus, which posed a huge problem for the Allen Hills meteorite evidence. At the same time, once again, the scientists that discovered these structures in the meteorite have stuck to their guns, and that work actually continued, and there are many more fossil-like structures known in this meteorite. But the whole thing still faces the problem that fossil morphology alone doesn't really provide an unambiguous way to prove the discovery of evidence of primitive life. Geology can look pretty weird at times without biology, so that meteorite evidence remains in question. But it doesn't end there with the meteorites. Another meteorite is Nakhla, which fell in 1911 in Egypt. Here a team in the late 90s found evidence that while this meteorite was still on Mars, it was altered by water, and there were objects preserved that were once again consistent with fossilized nanobacteria. Moreover, organic molecules were found in this rock, and most of them were shown to not likely be contamination from when the meteorite fell on Earth. Later analysis and other samples of this meteorite showed that carbon deposits are present throughout this meteorite to a degree, with some, and I mean a few, independent researchers suggesting that the carbon was deposited by life. The argument against that is that carbon is one of the most abundant elements in the universe and gets deposited all over without life, so again, it's ambiguous. The next meteorite is known as Shirgati and fell in India in 1865. This one is interesting because even though it fell a long time ago, the locals almost immediately retrieved it, so it's actually more pristine than a lot of the Martian meteorites. Once again, this meteorite shows centuries, at least, of alteration from water when it was still on Mars. But weirdly, this one has features in its matrix that look like biofilms that microbial colonies leave here on Earth. That remains unexplained and obscure. Lastly is the meteorite Yamato 000593, which again is from a lava flow that solidified about 1.3 billion years ago on Mars. This meteorite was then blasted off Mars about 12 million years ago and made its way to Earth, landing in Antarctica about 50,000 years ago. Once again, it shows alteration by water before it landed on Earth, and part of its interior shows spheres rich in carbon, but are surrounded by areas where they are completely absent, which tends to be how such spheres are distributed here on Earth in rocks by biology. And then we have the Mars rovers, and here's where it gets stranger. So one of the ways to try to determine the activities of life on Earth in Earth's history, which is a very spotty business because of a lack of robust evidence from those days, is to look for interactions in the fossil record of life and rock, essentially, or what is now rock but used to be mud or sediments. These are things like Proterozoic burrows, borings by archaea, and most importantly, stromatolites, geologic features created by life that still does to this day. In short, rocks that represent evidence of the actions of biology. Indirect though these are, they do remain evidence, and again, it gets weird. So the Martian meteorites have this in the form of microtunnels, created by something. But trace evidence like this is ambiguous. But here's the weird part. One of the rovers, Curiosity, which is still active, found at the Vera Rubin Ridge on Mars stick-like structures that appear, at least superficially, of biological origin. These are found in sedimentary rock deposited by water at Gale Crater on Mars, and they are unexplained. All we know is that the closest match to them are what is known as ichnofossils here on Earth and are a result of life. The question is, can this be mimicked on Mars by cracking and evaporating crystal formation? And then there's the question of apparent microbioerosion and basaltic glasses on Mars, which are unexplained. But at the same time, basaltic glasses are linked, at least tentatively, to the generation of RNA here on Earth, which is fundamentally important to explaining abiogenesis on Earth. But that isn't all. There is the matter of microbial mats. Here on Earth, microbial mats fossilize and provide evidence of past bacterial action. They still produce them, and we see them in the fossil record from very long ago. They form in shallow waters, lakes, and coastal areas. And some of the evidence we have of them date back to at least 3.48 billion years. As long as these things are undisturbed, they can fossilize. The thing is, some interpretations of the data from the Curiosity rover looks like bacterial mats here on Earth. It's not unlike Earth for these possible fossils, roll-ups, domes, pits, and other indicators that really do resemble Earth fossils for bacterial colonies in shallow water. Earth mats dry up, rebound, and do all sorts of odd things. And this evidence for Mars looks similar, but of course is in question as ambiguous. But remember, we could be very close to putting human boots on this planet from the private sector, and indeed NASA. Both SpaceX and NASA have rockets capable of transporting humans to Mars, and scientific skepticism is wonderful so long as you have the time to work through it. But I'm not sure we have that. The next question is that of formaldehyde. In 2005, the European Space Agency's Mars Express orbiter detected it. This is a strange chemical. We think of it as embalming fluid and a carcinogen, but it is a biological, organic chemical, and we see it extensively in space, not related to biology. In a planetary context, it could always just be the byproduct of the oxidation of methane, but that would require Mars to be really geologically active when it doesn't really appear to be. But more recent evidence suggests that it's more active than we thought, and could even still have volcanic episodes, albeit muted to this day. Otherwise, it might be a product of microbial life active on Mars. And then there are the methane blooms. Methane is common in the universe, but life produces it here on Earth. But on Mars, methane is chemically unstable due to the high-energy ultraviolet radiation that comes from the sun, and the overall chemistry of Mars's atmosphere destroys it. Yet, it's there, and has to be replenished by some kind of a process, geological or biological. It's more or less unclear why, and it blooms and changes and concentrates at certain areas on Mars, like life might do. And in one interpretation, it appears to do it seasonally. That doesn't necessarily implicate biology, but it does implicate something unusual. Seasonal methane releases can happen in geology. But that planet isn't very volcanic anymore. and Curiosity again detected weird, unprecedented levels of methane release as it roved around. It looks in some ways like methanogenic bacteria are blooming, like the earliest life on Earth did, relatively deep below the surface of Mars. And there are the geysers. Mars's southern polar cap is just that. It frosts and defrosts seasonally. Because of this process, water and CO2 can become pressurized subsurface and erupt as a geyser. This is actually very active on Mars, and an interesting phenomenon for such an otherwise quiet planet. Around these geysers, however, dark spots and channels appear that are unexplained. One idea is that when the geysers toss out liquid and mud, dormant microorganisms wake up and photosynthesize, creating heat and liquid water trapped in the ground, sustaining them for a time. These spots initially appear gray, but as the environment dries them out, they turn black. At the same time, however, chemistry can do these things as well. It's just discoloration, but it's not clear how that would happen under these conditions. Another weird one comes again from Curiosity at Gale Crater. The rover was studying a 3.5 billion year old sample of mudstone and detected large concentrations of organic chemicals that could only have been formed and preserved in the presence of sulfur. That mix looks like something called kerogens here on Earth, basically a precursor to crude oil. The presence of something like that on Mars is interesting, but again, ambiguous. It really boils down to a resemblance. If life did deposit that, however, then one strange tidbit is that Mars with past life actually might have oil. Boots on Mars, indeed. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently perplexed. If it actually is shown that Mars once had life, and that life turns out to be related to Earth life via panspermia, the big question will be which planet did life originate on? It could easily be Mars instead of Earth. In which case, one of the greatest discoveries in human history will be that we started out as Martians. And be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.